Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Splitting bets.
Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes. So you can see changes in all the action, find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets, and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check them out. All of today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. It's Gil Alexander, Wyatt Tomchek, in for the vacationing Kelly Bidlin. It is football week here at VSiN. Our betting guide comes out in just 2 days. Everything you could possibly imagine from a betting perspective, all 32 teams, talking awards as well, player props. It's all covered by multiple folks on our staff, people working very hard behind the scenes to get that together. Again, vsin.com/subscribe. We have one of those gentlemen who worked very hard on this who joins us now to talk about some of the things he wrote about and some of the bets he has made. Fresh from his Italy honeymoon, it's Zachary Cohen, everybody. How you doing, Zach?
Doing well. How are you?
Doing very well. How'd it go? How was it? Was it everything you imagined it to be?
Oh, it was great. Outside of the travel, everything that we did, the travel went really horribly, but everything else was unbelievable.
Oh, no. What happened on the travel? You missed a connection or something?
We had a lot of flight delays, and my wife lost her luggage in Rome, which was not good. She, you know, we separated our stuff with, you know, clean stuff went in my bag, and, like, I don't know what it was, but all of her stuff went missing, none of mine.
All right. Well, did you eat well? That's all I wanted. Did you eat okay?
Yeah. Oh, my God. The food was unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Good for you, man. Congratulations again. I'm sorry that you had the hardship there, but I'm glad you overcame it. The betting guide, somehow you managed to still write for the betting guide, which is just amazing. And you, in terms of divisions, you focused on the NFC West. How do you feel that division shakes out, sir?
Yeah, so I think it shakes out almost exactly like it did last year. I really like the 49ers to win. You know, you could get not a bad price on them. I think it's like minus 200 on them to win the division. And I do think that the 49ers are going to win the Super Bowl. So that made it really easy for me. But I also do think that the Seahawks are a good team to pick on, you know, over on the win total. I think that they can be a lot better this year with Jaxon Smith-Njigba in there and just another year of you know, under that offense with Geno Smith feeling a little bit more comfortable. And then I think I mentioned it in the guide you'll see on Thursday, but, you know, the Rams will be a little bit more competitive this year with Stafford back, but I still think it's a down year. And then the Cardinals are probably the team I'm the lowest on in the entire league right now.
How low? It's 4.5. Would you go under on that?
I'd go under. I mean, when the schedule came out, DraftKings had as an underdog in every single game that they're playing this season. I think that quarterback situation's a mess. Like, I don't see, you know, them rushing Murray back if they're one of the worst teams in the league in the first half of the year. So I do think that's the case. I think losing Hopkins makes the wide receiver room, you know, a lot smaller, a lot worse. And I think that the defense is going to have, you know, a lot of trouble this year.
But your favorite season win total, just to clarify, your favorite season win total bet in division is the Seahawks over at 8.5?
Yeah, Seahawks over in that division for sure.
Okay. And so, and the Niners, who you say are correctly favored to win the division, they're minus 160 at DraftKings. Doesn't necessarily induce a bet, though, I'm hearing. Where do you stand on Brock Purdy?
Yeah, I'm just of the opinion where I don't really think it matters who the quarterback is in that team. I think as long as they get average play, they're going to be one of the best offenses in the league. I think they'll get that from no matter who it is between Purdy, Darnold, or Lance. I think that we'll see probably a decent version of Sam Darnold if he is the day of the week one starter.
Okay, you liked some other things outside of this division. Specifically, you have some thoughts on the Bears and the Jets. Where did you end up with their season win totals?
Yeah, I went with the over on the Chicago Bears win total. I know that that's probably going against the grain a little bit, but I'm not as down on Justin Fields as a passer as everybody else is. I think that they had such a bad offensive line, such a bad wide receiving corps in his first two seasons, and I think that now they've kind of corrected that. They brought in Nate Davis, who's a veteran along the offensive line. They added Darnell Wright in the draft. I think that that offensive line should be able to do a better job protecting him this season. And then you have DJ Moore on the outside, who's one of the, you know, one of the better wide receivers in the league. So I think that he'll be a lot better as a thrower. And I think the defense added as much talent as anyone this offseason. And Matt Eberflus is a really good defensive coach. He pumped out great defenses in Indianapolis. I think he'll do the same this season with Chicago.
Yeah, just saying this sort of anecdotally, the widest variance of opinion, I would say, on the Packers and the Bears, like of all teams in the league, that's what it feels like. So you're going over on the Bears at 7.5. And the Jets, let me guess, you two are an over on the Jets.
Yeah, and over on the Jets. And I am a Jets fan, but I'm not one that's ever been optimistic about the team ever. So
Homer.
This isn't really bias talking, but I just think that, yeah, you take a top five defense and you go from the worst quarterback in the league to a top five quarterback in the league. It's just bound to be a much better season. And I know that the early season schedule is trouble for New York, but you're adding one of the quarterbacks that is, arguably the best of all time at snatching close games. So I think that he's going to win them more games than people expect early in the year. And then I think that they're going to rattle off a bunch of wins in the second half of the season.
All right. Talking to Zach Cohen, a VSiN contributor. Also, Zach, we can have you back on Friday to talk a little tennis too before Wimbledon. Can we do that a second time? Yes.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, okay. I'm looking forward to that.
I look forward to that. Let's talk more football. Let's talk about awards. Since I know you are a guy who likes to delve into awards. How about Offensive Rookie of the Year? Obviously Bryce Young, ends up being the number one pick in the draft. You are backing Bryce Young to be the Offensive Rookie of the Year, yes?
I'm backing Young. I was really surprised to see that Bijan Robinson was the favorite to win that award. I just think that these are the types of awards that tend to skew quarterback, and I think if the Panthers are half as good as people expect them to be this season, a lot of people have picked them to win that division. I don't see that award not going to him. I think he's NFL ready. I mean, we just played dynamite football, the best conference in college football. I just think that he's going to be pretty good right away. I'm not too worried about his size, and I think he has a great head coach in Frank Reich. So I'm expecting decent numbers, and I'm expecting 7-8 wins from Carolina. I think that'll be enough for him to win that award.
Yeah, I am massively worried about his size. I could be completely wrong. It might not end up being a thing, but I can't get it out of my head. I told a story about how I showed up at the Washington, the Skins training camp years and years ago in the 90s when they drafted Heath Shuler. And I remember him behind center, and I said to the guy, I was like, is that Heath Shuler, right? Like, it was just, when you're small, you're small, and everyone around you seems massive. Like, Drew Brees was such a historical outlier that he was able to perform at his level at 6 feet tall, and Bryce Young's not close to that. So it'll be fascinating. And if he is to be the Rookie of the Year and to just have great seasons beyond that, it will absolutely be an amazing feat. You also had a lot of opinions on MVP, which I think were fascinating. And this is what makes the betting guide so great, because there's all kind of nuanced opinions. Let's start with Josh Allen. Josh Allen is, behind Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow, he's the only other guy in single digits, 8-1 at DraftKings. You like Josh Allen for MVP?
Yeah, I do. I think that last year, he still put up great numbers. I know the interceptions were high, but I think they'll be a little bit better this year. I wasn't as high as other people on, the Bills offense as a whole last season, but I think it got a little bit better in adding Dalton Kincaid in the offseason. I think he's going to do a lot of good work in the short to intermediate area. That's going to make Allen's life a lot easier. And I also think, the offensive line has been such a trouble for him. I think that adding Connor McGovern, who's not an elite guard by any means, but he's a good pass protector, I think he's going to make it a lot easier on Allen to stay upright and make it easier for him as a passer.
All right, let me cherry pick some names. Aaron Rodgers, you just discussed how much you like the Jets this year. If someone said, hey, I'm going to bet Aaron Rodgers 16-1 to win MVP, you would say what?
I like it because I think that, so much of MVP is narrative-based, and I think that you're going to get people from week one just looking at the Jets all year long. Honestly, there's going to be a spotlight on him. If he performs at a decent level, there's going to be inflation in terms of his MVP odds. And I think that he's going from one of the worst situations in the league in terms of pass catchers to one of the best. So I like him a lot. I think that that offense is going to be built around every single thing he does well.
Another team and another player where there's a lot of, disparate opinions on are the Jaguars, and specifically Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence right now 14-1 to win MVP at DraftKings. Your thoughts on him?
I love Lawrence this year. I think after the bye week last year, Lawrence was a completely different player. He was top five in the league and big time throw percentage, adjusted completion percentage, PFF grade, pretty much you name it. He was, an elite quarterback after the bye week. And I think you add Calvin Ridley to the mix. I think people forget Ridley's, borderline top 10 talent at the wide receiver position. And then just another year in Doug Peterson's offense. Peterson proved himself to be one of the best coaches in the league last season. I think there were people down on him after the way things ended in Philadelphia, but he was unbelievable in Jacksonville. And I think that Lawrence is now in a really steady situation. And yeah, I just love the Jaguars. I think the Jaguars are a really good pick to win the Super Bowl as well, in addition to Lawrence being a good pick to win the MVP.
Okay, real quick, because we only have a minute left, I want to ask you two final questions. I'll put these two guys together as one of them. Geno Smith, a current Seahawks quarterback, and then former Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson are both 35-1. Would you consider a play on either of them?
Both of them. I had them both as my dart throws at the MVP odds Smith is a guy, you know, maybe he topped out last season. I mean, it's probably likely that he did, but, you know, he's getting another weapon in Jackson Smith and Ojigbo. He's going to be just an unbelievable wide receiver. I was really high on him in the NFL draft. So I think you're adding him into the mix. Geno could have better numbers this year. I mean, he should, as long as he doesn't, you know, take a huge step back, maybe defenses figure him out. But at 35-1, I'm willing to pay the price and, you know, see it for myself. And then Wilson, I don't know. I just don't think he's done yet. I think that last season was a huge, huge indictment on Nathaniel Hackett and not Wilson. I think that he's already shown that he's in a lot better shape, and I think that Sean Payton will get the best out of him this year.
All right, real quick, I need a one name answer. Only one non-quarterback has won MVP in the last 16 years. That was AP, Adrian Peterson, in 2012. If I came to you from the future and I said a non-quarterback won this, that person would be?
I wouldn't bet it, but Christian McCaffrey.
I wouldn't bet it, but Christian McCaffrey. Thank you, Zach. Appreciate it. Chrissy Andrews next, another inductee announced in the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Splitting bets.
Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes. So you can see changes in all the action, find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets, and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check them out. All of today's betting splits for every game at vsin.com. It's Gil Alexander, Wyatt Tomchek, in for the vacationing Kelly Bidlin. It is football week here at VSiN. Our betting guide comes out in just 2 days. Everything you could possibly imagine from a betting perspective, all 32 teams, talking awards as well, player props. It's all covered by multiple folks on our staff, people working very hard behind the scenes to get that together. Again, vsin.com/subscribe. We have one of those gentlemen who worked very hard on this who joins us now to talk about some of the things he wrote about and some of the bets he has made. Fresh from his Italy honeymoon, it's Zachary Cohen, everybody. How you doing, Zach?
Doing well. How are you?
Doing very well. How'd it go? How was it? Was it everything you imagined it to be?
Oh, it was great. Outside of the travel, everything that we did, the travel went really horribly, but everything else was unbelievable.
Oh, no. What happened on the travel? You missed a connection or something?
We had a lot of flight delays and my wife lost her luggage in Rome, which was not good. She, you know, we separated our stuff with, you know, clean stuff went in my bag and like, I don't know what it was, but all of her stuff went missing, none of mine.
All right. Well, did you eat well? That's all I wanted. Did you eat okay?
Yeah. Oh my God. The food was unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Good for you, man. Congratulations again. I'm sorry that you had the hardship there, but I'm glad you overcame it. The betting guide, somehow you managed to still write for the betting guide, which is just amazing. And you, in terms of divisions, you focused on the NFC West. How do you feel that division shakes out, sir?
Yeah, so I think it shakes out almost exactly like it did last year. I really like the 49ers to win. You know, you could get not a bad price on them. I think it's like minus 200 on them to win the division. And I do think that the 49ers are going to win the Super Bowl, so that made it really easy for me. But I also do think that the Seahawks are a good team to pick, you know, over on the win total. I think that they can be a lot better this year with Jackson Smith and Jigba in there, and just another year of you know, under that offense, with Geno Smith feeling a little bit more comfortable. And then I think I mentioned it in the guide you'll see on Thursday, but you know, the Rams will be a little bit more competitive this year with Stafford back, but I still think it's a down year. And then the Cardinals are probably the team I'm the lowest on in the entire league right now.
How low? It's 4.5. Would you go under on that?
I'd go under. I mean, when the schedule came out, DraftKings had an underdog in every single game that they're playing this season. I think that quarterback situation is a mess. Like, I don't see, you know, them rushing Murray back if they're one of the worst teams in the league in the first half of the year. So I do think that's the case. I think losing Hopkins makes the wide receiver room, you know, a lot smaller, a lot worse. And I think that the defense is going to have, you know, a lot of trouble this year.
But your favorite season win total, just to clarify, your favorite season win total bet in division is the Seahawks over at 8.5?
Yeah, Seahawks over in that division for sure.
Okay, and so, and the Niners, who you say are correctly favored to win the division, they're minus 160 at DraftKings. Doesn't necessarily induce a bet, though, I'm hearing. Where do you stand on Brock Purdy?
Yeah, I'm just of the opinion where I don't really think it matters who the quarterback is in that team. I think as long as they get average play, they're going to be one of the best offenses in the league. I think they'll get that from no matter who it is between Purdy, Darnold, or Lance. I think that we'll see probably a decent version of Sam Darnold if he is the day of the week one starter.
Okay. You liked some other things outside of this division. Specifically, you have some thoughts on the Bears and the Jets. Where did you end up with their season win totals?
Yeah, I went with the over on the Chicago Bears win total. I know that that's probably going against the grain a little bit, but I'm not as down on Justin Fields as a passer as everybody else is. I think that they had such a bad offensive line, such a bad wide receiving corps in his first two seasons, and I think that now they've kind of corrected that. They brought in Nate Davis, who's a veteran along the offensive line. They added Darnell Wright in the draft. I think that that offensive line should be able to do a better job protecting him this season. And then you have DJ Moore on the outside, who's one of the, you know, one of the better wide receivers in the league. So I think that he'll be a lot better as a thrower. And I think the defense added as much talent as anyone this offseason. And Matt Eberflus is a really good defensive coach. He pumped out great defenses in Indianapolis. I think he'll do the same this season with Chicago.
Yeah, just saying this sort of anecdotally, the widest variance of opinion, I would say, on the Packers and the Bears, like of all teams in the league, that's what it feels like. So you're going over on the Bears at 7.5. And the Jets, let me guess, you two are an over on the Jets.
Yeah, I'm an over on the Jets. And I am a Jets fan, but I'm not one that's ever been optimistic about the team ever. So
Homer.
This isn't really biased talking, but I just think that, yeah, you take a top five defense and you go from the worst quarterback in the league to a top five quarterback in the league. It's just bound to be a much better season. And I know that the early season schedule is trouble for New York, but you're adding one of the quarterbacks that is, you know, arguably the best of all time at snatching close games. So I think that he's going to win them more games than people expect early in the year. And then I think that they're going to rattle off a bunch of wins in the second half of the season.
All right. Talking to Zach Cohen, a VSiN contributor. Well, also, Zach, we can have you back on Friday to talk a little tennis too before Wimbledon. Can we do that a second time? Yes.
Oh, definitely. Yeah,
okay.
I'm looking forward to that.
I look forward to that. Let's talk more football. Let's talk about awards. Since I know you are a guy who likes to delve into awards. How about Offensive Rookie of the Year? Obviously Bryce Young ends up being the number one pick in the draft. You are backing Bryce Young to be the Offensive Rookie of the Year, yes?
I'm backing Young. I was really surprised to see that Bijan Robinson was the favorite to win that award. I just think that these are the types of awards that tend to skew quarterback. And I think if the Panthers are, you know, half as good as people expect them to be this season, a lot of people have picked them to win that division. I don't see that award not going to him. I think he's NFL ready. I mean, we just played dynamite football, you know, the best conference in college football. I just think that he's going to be pretty good right away. I'm not too worried about his size, and I think he has a great head coach in Frank Reich. So I'm expecting decent numbers, and I'm expecting, you know, 7-8 wins from Carolina. I think that'll be enough for him to win that award.
Yeah, I am massively worried about his size. I could be completely wrong. It might not end up being a thing, but I can't get it out of my head. I told a story about how I showed up at the Washington, the Skins training camp years and years ago in the 90s when they drafted Heath Shuler. And I remember him behind center, and I said to the guy next, I was like, is that Heath Shuler, right? Like, it was just, when you're small, you're small, and everyone around you is just seems massive. Like, Drew Brees was such a historical outlier that he was able to perform at his level at 6 feet tall, and Bryce Young's not close to that. So it'll be fascinating. And if he is to be the Rookie of the Year and to just have great seasons beyond that, it will absolutely be an amazing feat. You also had a lot of opinions on MVP, which I think were fascinating. And this is what makes the betting guide so great, because there's all kind of nuanced opinions. Let's start with Josh Allen. Josh Allen is, you know, behind Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow, he's the only other guy in single digits, 8-1 at DraftKings. You like Josh Allen for MVP?
Yeah, I do. I think that last year, you know, he still put up great numbers. I know the interceptions were high, but I think they'll be a little bit better this year. I wasn't as high as other people on, you know, the Bills offense as a whole last season, but I think it got a little bit better in adding Dalton Kincaid in the offseason. I think he's going to do a lot of good work in the short to intermediate area. That's going to make Allen's life a lot easier. And I also think, you know, the offensive line has been such a trouble for him. I think that adding Connor McGovern, who's not an elite guard by any means, but he's a good pass protector, I think he's going to make it a lot easier on Allen to stay upright and make it easier for him as a passer.
All right, let me cherry pick some names. Aaron Rodgers, you just discussed how much you like the Jets this year. If someone said, hey, I'm going to bet Aaron Rodgers 16-1 to win MVP, you would say what?
I like it because I think that, you know, so much of MVP is narrative-based, and I think that you're going to get people from week one just looking at the Jets all year long. Honestly, there's going to be a spotlight on him. If he performs at a decent level, there's going to be inflation in terms of his MVP odds. And I think that he's going from one of the worst situations in the league in terms of pass catchers to one of the best. So I like him a lot. I think that that offense is going to be built around every single thing he does well.
Another team and another player where there's a lot of, you know, disparate opinions on are the Jaguars, and specifically Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence right now 14-1 to win MVP at DraftKings. Your thoughts on him?
I love Lawrence this year. I think after the bye week last year, Lawrence was a completely different player. He was top five in the league and big time throw percentage, adjusted completion percentage, PFF grade, pretty much you name it. He was, you know, an elite quarterback after the bye week. And I think you add Calvin Ridley to the mix. I think people forget Ridley's, you know, borderline top 10 talent at the wide receiver position. And then just another year in Doug Peterson's offense. Peterson proved himself to be one of the best coaches in the league last season. I think there were people down on him after the way things ended in Philadelphia, but he was unbelievable in Jacksonville. And I think that Lawrence is now in a really steady situation. And yeah, I just love the Jaguars. I think the Jaguars are a really good pick to win the Super Bowl as well, in addition to Lawrence being a good pick to win the MVP.
Okay, real quick, because we only have a minute left, I want to ask you two final questions. I'll put these two guys together as one of them. Geno Smith, a current Seahawks quarterback, and then former Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson are both 35-1. Would you consider a play on either of them?
Both of them. I had them both as my dart throws at the MVP and the MVP odds. Smith is a guy, you know, maybe he topped out last season. I mean, it's probably likely that he did, but you know, he's getting another weapon in Jackson Smith and Ojigbo, who's going to be just an unbelievable wide receiver. I was really high on him in the NFL draft. So I think you're adding him into the mix. Geno could have better numbers this year. I mean, he should, as long as he doesn't, you know, take a huge step back. Maybe defenses figure him out. But at 35-1, I'm willing to pay the price and, you know, see it for myself. And then Wilson, I don't know. I just don't think he's done yet. I think that last season was a huge, huge indictment on Nathaniel Hackett and not Wilson. I think that he's already shown that he's in a lot better shape, and I think that Sean Payton will get the best out of him this year.
All right, real quick, I need a one-name answer. Only one non-quarterback has won MVP in the last 16 years. That was AP, Adrian Peterson, in 2012. If I came to you from the future and I said a non-quarterback won this, that person would be?
I wouldn't bet it, but Christian McCaffrey.
I wouldn't bet it, but Christian McCaffrey. Thank you, Zach. Appreciate it. Chrissy Andrews next, another inductee announced in the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashing the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits. That's redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. And if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM. MGM rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Real quick, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Chance Copperpot. Has anyone ever heard of Mark Base Winner, Borchard, and Paul Sporer? At the same time, has anyone noticed that they've had similar voices? Thanks for the MLB content. You are welcome, sir. Vegas regular. Hey, Gilly, you didn't give a base winner enough credit for his back to one joke with Brian Knight, the umpire. It was well played. Yes, we make that joke every time with Brian Knight. And then teasers and parlays, enjoying the Q2 show before. Thank you guys for doing that. That seems to respond well. And again, for those who look for it in podcast form, we will do it tomorrow on the Beating the Book feed. Back with my mishpocha, Chrissy Andrews, who runs the South Point Hotel Casino Sportsbook, here on the tip of the strip, inducting, or at least announcing the name of another inductee into the Bet Bash Sports Gambling Hall of Fame. That will happen, the induction, in early August, August 8th through 11th. You can get your tickets at betbash.co, and that name was Jimmy Vaccaro, who you know very, very well. And those of us who have worked at the South Point all these years have gotten to know Jimmy. Mm. And again, his reaction to you telling him was?
That's a nice kid.
Yeah, that's a nice kid. Yeah. What is a story you would like to share?
Okay, first of all, we know Jimmy's a very quirky guy. I can't wait to see him in a tuxedo for Bet Bash.
I hadn't noticed that about him.
He's a very quirky guy. Remember when he left the first time to go his annual trip back to Trafford, and that's another story. But anyway, he technically quit, you know, to go back there. And somebody asked me, "Are you going to replace Jimmy?" You don't replace Jimmy Vaccaro. I mean, you know, that was like, have you not been paying attention? No, you don't replace Jimmy. Of course not.
Impossible.
Yeah, impossible. So anyway, we know all his quirkiness. We have a lot of funny stories about Jimmy. But let me just tell you, this is why, I'm going to give you an example. This is why he's in the Hall of Fame. Oh, God, I was going to write all this stuff down because it's easy to get confused. But the year Philadelphia played New England in the Super Bowl. Okay, whatever year that was, a couple years. all like the 2 weeks leading up, the first 13 days of the betting, it was all New England. And I can't remember. I had to write this down, but I forgot. I think New England was a 4.5-point favorite. Anyway, so it's all New England,
This is the Nick Foles Philadelphia.
Yeah, that one.
After the 2018 season, I believe.
Yeah, so anyway, I'm pretty conservative as far as bookmaking. So since I needed Philly for all the props, I want to need New England. Since I needed Philly for the game, I wanted to need New England for all the props. I'm just trying to maneuver, just trying to get into a position where you're going to do so much money. I don't want to get killed. I definitely want to, grind out as much as we possibly can. Anyway, now we get to the day of the Super Bowl, and it started about midnight the night before the Super Bowl. The whole market changed. As drastically, and I've seen it change a bit over the years at times, but nothing like this. The New England money completely dried up. It was gone. Everybody that wanted to bet New England already bet them. Now it was all Philadelphia money. So for 2 weeks, I'm telling, Michael Gaughan, Ryan Groney, Frank Toad, I'm telling, we're going to need Philly. Now it changes. And by the time we get to kickoff, I needed New England pretty bad. So in that process, in that final 12 hours, now you got to remember, I needed New England for all the props. So now I have to switch all the way around. Since now I need New England for the game, I want to need Philly for all the props. We had 300 props. I'm looking at all this stuff. How am I going to do this? And me and Jimmy sat down, and we had a strategic session here. Let's move this. Let's do this. Let's do that. Between quarterbacks, running backs, point spread props was like a big one. We maneuvered, and we wound up, but it's hard to tell. Like I said, you got 300 props. Going out there. But I had to switch everything around. Now, the point spread, you can kind of handle, you just kind of react when it's coming in, But the props is a lot more difficult, because like I said, you have so many of them, and they're, some of them are a bit obscure, esoteric, that sort of thing. And Jimmy helped me all along the way. So now game goes, and of course, it's one of the best Super Bowls of all time. Philly wins the game, and so Ryan Groney, he's the general manager. He walks in just as the game's over, and we post the score. Puts it in. Where do we stand? Stuck 200,000. Okay. He says, do you put in the props yet? No. He says, what do you think? I says, Ryan, I don't know.
I have no idea.
I did my best. That's all I could tell you. I did my best. And I told him right then. Me and Jimmy went through all of it, and we did our best. He says, well, how long is it going to take to put all these in? That's about 2 hours. This was the old system, and everything has to get confirmed and all that. So they go, and Jimmy's just sitting there. He's, we'll find out what happens, kid. We'll see. I'm dying, and I don't want to, he's following along the way.
He's watching a Turner Classic movies.
I forget what it was, probably All About Eve or something like that. Anyway, so he's sitting there calm as a cucumber, and I don't want to look. I don't want to partial. I don't want to sweat along the way. Just give me the final when it's done. And I think, Vinny was back there, and he says, well, I need a beer. I said, beer ain't going to do it. You got to give me a double Jameson. So now Ryan comes in right about the time, I had Nick and Cam, if you remember her, they were doing. Mm-hmm. And he says, okay, we got it. Everything's in. I hit the button. Ryan walks through the door. He says, did we get out of it? I said, yeah. Kind of nod my head. We get out of it? Yeah. How much? I hold up four fingers. Oh, we made 4,000. We made 400,000.
Which is a very nice haul here at the South Point.
Well, let me just tell you, if you go back and look, you can look at the records, because they posted, the state. We out of that little office back there, we won about a third of the entire state's win.
Hmm.
And, listen, Michael, I'm not talking out of school. Michael brags about it all the time, so he lets everybody know. But we won over 400,000 that day, about a third of the entire state's win. And I don't know how that would have happened without Jimmy Vaccaro. He sat there with me the whole way. And like I said, we got our funny stories about Jimmy, very quirky, with the white T-shirts and calling everybody kid and doing all that other stuff. But when it came down to you know, nuts and bolts where we really, we needed to do this stuff on the fly.
He was invaluable.
I mean, he was. I mean, you know, calling audibles, let's change this, let's change that, you know, and, I kind of knew to do that, but I don't think I could have executed that nearly as well as I did without Jimmy, you know, coaching me along every step
that's
of the
awesome.
Way. It's an incredible story.
Yeah.
And that's one of my favorite stories. And it shows you how Jimmy, you know, has his finger on the pulse. He kind of knew what was going on, you know,
which is a lot to have in one's head. This was, again, February of 2018. I misspoke. It was after the 2017 season, technically.
Yeah.
And there's so many, and then there's the other ones that are just hilarious, right? I mean, there's ones where that are more serious. Remember the Arizona State sports point shaving scandal.
He's been around a long time. Yeah, that's another great one.
But you know, I think one of the greater ones is the Buster Douglas one.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, ESPN has a 30 for 30.
Yeah.
Called 42-1 yeah. with Jimmy is in it.
Yeah.
So Buster Douglas famously beating Mike Tyson as a 42-1 dog. And then Buster Douglas's next fight was against Evander Holyfield, coming off this big Tyson upset, which if you were alive, if you were of a certain age, I cannot express to you how large, I mean, we did with numbers, 42-1, but even beyond that in the culture, it was impossible what happened. And so he's got this fight with Holyfield, and for whatever reason, they decided that Buster Douglas was going to train right in front at the Wynn, where they used to keep
the Mirage.
At the Mirage, where Steve Wynn owned, right where the Tigers used to be displayed after that. Yeah. But right there in the middle, and Buster Douglas wore a robe every time.
He wore one of those giant sweatsuits.
Giant
and
sweatsuits.
And,
Jimmy figured out somehow that every night Buster Douglas was ordering a lemon meringue pie
every
to the
night.
Room.
Yeah.
Every night. And he caught a glimpse of him without the robe on finally.
Yeah.
And he said he sprinted to the sports book to adjust all the odds at Evander Holyfield, famously knocking out Buster Douglas.
Somebody beat him there and bet him $400,000.
One person beat him. That's right.
Jimmy wasn't so quick anymore. But I have a million Jimmy stories. That's my favorite because I was there for that. And it shows you, again, why he's in the Hall of Fame. It's not just a funny character.
No.
I mean, he knows his stuff.
One of the legendary guys in sports betting history here in the United States, and still mills about here at the South Point. We'll talk to everybody making bets. Hey, kid, you tried the kiosk? He's big on the kiosks.
Yeah, we do a lot of business out of it.
Thank you, Chrissy. Great having you announce all the names of all the people you knew so well, including Jimmy Vaccaro, the latest name to be inducted into the Bet Bash Sports Gambling Hall of Fame this coming August, betbash.co. Thank you, Chris. Enjoy. Lombardi Line is next right here at VSiN, the sports.